Hi, I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and each week on NPR's TED Radio Hour, we go on a journey with TED speakers, where we'll ask big questions.
And that we truly have to ask ourselves, like, well, why is it noteworthy?
That will inspire us, challenge us, and even change us.
I literally feel like I'm a different person. Do you feel that way?
I did. Join us.
Wednesday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Travels with Triggs. We're very excited today to talk about Growing Older Together, a nonprofit organization serving Sullivan, Wayne, and Pike counties. Our guests are Diane Yaddo, president of the board, and Thomas Cambridge, the new executive director on Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Who's he gonna talk to now? What's he gonna talk about? Where are we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
And we're back. Hello, everyone. Very excited today. A show that can really help people. We're going to be talking with Thomas Cambridge, the new executive director of Growing Old Together, and the board president, Diane Yaddo, both of whom are very devoted to making sure that the senior population of our counties age well and stay at home as long as possible. Welcome to the show, Thomas and Diane.
Thank you, Greg. It's great to be here. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to do this.
Well, what an exciting time for Growing Old Together. Both of you are fairly new in your positions, bringing a newbie energy to the senior services, volunteer services that you provide. We're going to start with you, Diane. Why don't you give us your definition of Growing Old Together so the listeners know exactly what we're going to be talking about?
Well, at age 72, I'm getting there. I want to grow older together with my friends, members, volunteers that I've known now for over 5 years. And I've started to come into the realization that there are things in my home that I can't do anymore. I'm still able to drive by myself, but I'm finding out that I can't mow my lawn anymore. So when I found out about this organization, I read about it in the newspaper, and I attended an informational meeting. And I was like, yeah, this was going back over 5 years ago. And I was like, this sounds great. I want to see that this organization gets off the ground.
Well, your background certainly provides for that. I know you worked in group homes and a lot of community services in your time, and I'm sure you bring a lot of passion and expertise and experience to your new role as the president.
Well, yes, I've been involved in the community for several years. And as you said, volunteer work, I enjoy it. It brings out the best in people. You get to meet a lot of wonderful people that way.
And I imagine it's a really important part of growing old well, to get out in the community and provide new things and make new relationships, bring new things into your life.
Exactly. You get to find out people, how compassionate and caring they can be. And in my generation, it's really hard to admit that you need help. And it's hard to say, okay, I can't mow my lawn anymore, and I can't depend on one child that lives close to me to him to do it every single time it needs doing. And I was surprised the very first time I put in a service and said, I need my lawn mowed. I had 3 people that signed up to do it.
That's awesome. And as you say, we all need help, probably at any stage of our lives. And Growing Old Together just got some new help in the form of their executive director, a great background in community services, great son to his own aging father, and an IT professional who is now the executive director of Growing Old Together, Thomas Cambridge. Good morning, Thomas.
Greg, good morning to you.
And so tell us, first impressions of this organization that you're now the executive director of, some of the goals and plans you have. Tell us a little bit about your strategy for Growing Old Together.
Sure. So I have been on the job for 6 weeks. I started at the 1st of May of this year. And I just want to give you a little bit of background, Greg, like how I got here. I within the past year, I've had a couple of things in my life that drew my attention for the first time to the needs of an aging population. And I got quite ill last year and had to be whisked off to a hospital an hour away. And I was there for about a week and then back here in, I live in Coshecton. So I was at the Calicoon Hospital for some time. And what I was so grateful and overwhelmed about was I had friends and resources who could fill the vacuum from when I left, you know, who could, I live alone. I have a dog, but, I don't have a spouse or any children. And I had friends who came in and took care of things, took my dog, took care of, the needs that that were left here. And I thought to myself as I lay in that hospital in Middletown, well, first of all, what if I didn't have, these friends and these loved ones? And what do people do who don't have it? And you mentioned my father, who lives in Texas. He's 87 years old. He's sufficient to a point. My sisters live there, and we're all able to help him out. And when I went to visit him earlier this year, again, I thought, well, selfishly, I was like, he's got these resources. When I get to be 87 years old, hopefully, how am I going to take care of myself? And so when this opportunity came along, I learned about growing older together actually in the gym, with a friend of mine who was being considered for this role. And, you and I know that that was you, Greg. And I asked you, if you, are unable to pursue the opportunity, you know, could you pitch it my way? That's what happened. That's why I'm here now. And when I heard about growing older together, I thought this is one of those ways that people can stay independent in their homes and can have, you know, a sense of control over their lives. And so the organization, I'm very impressed. My initial findings are that, as Diane said, this is a group of compassionate individuals. We had a little garden party last week in the backyard of our founder's home in Honesdale, and I got to meet a lot of our members and our volunteers. And the commitment and the love, the passion that I experienced that day made me extremely grateful that I found this organization and, you know, and can hopefully make a difference, which is going to include getting the word out there. You know, the organization has grown at what I would say is an organic pace over the past 5 years. The board of directors realized they wanted a little bit more momentum than they were getting. They wanted to expand into Sullivan and Pike County, and that they needed to bring an executive director on board to do that. And so I'm super excited that I get to go out into the community and evangelize the organization. It's a word I like to use, but I think it really expresses not only what I'm doing, but what the board of directors and the other contributors are doing, is that it's basically we're selling a service that more or less sells itself. It's just getting the awareness out there that the organization exists and that we can do more to a greater degree.
Diane, why don't you very quickly walk us through how someone would, what the steps are for getting involved with this organization?
As a volunteer, all of our volunteers are vetted. So the process is we get at someone who's interested. I send them an application which fills out exactly what they think they want to do, whether they want to do transportation, IT maybe, just anything that they maybe in-house work, so that all that information is there for me so that I can do an interview with the person. When they fill out the application form, they're also signing that it's okay for us to do a background check on them. All of our volunteers are vetted, so that with criminal background checks and with their driving record, so that everyone knows that anybody who's walking into their home has been vetted. After I receive the application, I do an in-person, if it's acceptable to them and to myself, then I go ahead and I do their background check. Once that comes back, I get back in touch with them, and we have a volunteer handbook, which I do a training with them as a volunteer. Give them a badge that they can wear every time they do anything for the organization, and off they go.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And Thomas, why don't you walk us through how someone would sign up to actually get the services, how a senior might apply to get some of the things that Diane has mentioned.
Yeah, if someone is interested, like they're listening to what we're talking about today, the best way to get in touch with the organization is through our phone number. We have people on call, I believe it's 9 to 5, to take those calls. And the number is 570-630-0509. And we have a membership coordinator who would then contact the interested member and would take them through. First of all, that he would do an assessment just to make sure that we can fit their needs, because, you know, we don't do everything. We actually work with other organizations such as the Office of the Aging in Wayne County. So we don't compete with those organizations. We complement what they offer. And sometimes a potential member may need services that we don't provide, and so we will hand them off to one of those other partners. But as Diane mentioned, the things we do provide is transportation, household chores, light gardening, companionship. And so our membership coordinator will do that assessment, and if it looks like it's a right fit, I believe there's some paperwork to fill out. We have a small membership fee that's paid yearly. It's $150 a year. We do have expenses to run the organization. We are virtual primarily. We don't have a physical headquarters, but there are costs associated with running even an all-volunteer organization. So we have brought that annual fee down since the inception of the organization. We do offer on a case-by-case basis either sponsorship or sliding scale fees. The board of directors looks at those each case at a time and makes the determination whether we can help. And that's how folks get started.
Well, and certainly I would imagine both of my parents are gone, but if my community had had this kind of programming, I think I would sign up for it for my parents sooner than later, perhaps even in anticipation of needs. Or I might have even considered, had I lived in the same community as my parents, volunteering myself so that I had a relationship or I had paid forward in advance of my own family's needs. Is that something that the group or advocates for?
I'd like to answer that. As I mentioned earlier, I'm 72 years old, and I kind of planned for the end of my life. And I'm like, I have too many tchotchkes. There's going to be too much to clean out. Please, if you give me a gift card, membership somewhere, I think that's a wonderful idea.
Wonderful. And I see a couple of things in your Zoom shot that I'll sign up for some at some point, Diane. You have a beautiful home. But on that note, everybody, let's take a quick station break, and we'll be right back with Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Support comes from the Homestead School, Montessori education, preschool through early college with campuses in Glens Bay and Hurleyville. Building the intelligence, creativity, connection, and skills for an ecological future since 1978. Homesteadschool.com. From the River Reporter newspaper in Narrowsburg, New York. RiverReporter.com. And from listener donations at WJFFradio.org.
You know, I certainly like public radio more than I like the car.
It would actually be great to see, you know, some sort of flow chart that would say, you know, the muffler got sold. Oh, we got this microphone cover. The stereo got sold. We got this trash can. The engine block was sold. We paid, you know, Peter Sagal salary for about 25 minutes.
Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
My name is Matthew Loambra. I donated my 1998 Saturn SC2 to public radio.
Donate your car at WJFFradio.org.
Hello. If you're a book reader, and even if you're not, I'd like to invite you to join me, Aaron Hicklin, every Sunday at noon for Winter Shelf Life on WJFF Radio Catskill, a show about books and the people who love them. Each episode, my guest picks two of their favorite books. I read them, and then we get together to talk about them. That's Shelf Life on Sundays at noon on WJFF Radio Catskill.
We are back on Travels with Triggs. Our guests today are representatives from the organization Growing Older Together, Thomas Cambridge, the new executive director, and Diane Yaddo, the president of the board. We were talking earlier about phone calls, but for those who prefer to get more information on the internet, what is the website address, please? Tommy, why don't you start with that?
We have a website. It's, I'm just going to give you the name. It's, our initials, which is Growing Older Together. So it's got.clubexpress. That's one word. .com. And Club Express is a tool we use. Our organization is based on the Village to Village Network, which was founded out of Boston. And it's an organization that shares best practices. We are a member of, we pay a small membership fee each year. And that's where we share ideas. We learn more about how to build a village. And so they have tools and processes that we've been able to bring into the organization, one of which is that website that I just mentioned.
And I believe that is a way that volunteers can also find out what is needed and sign up at times that work for them and just assess the community needs that are current, correct?
Club Express is our tool. So people can see our website, and once someone is vetted or a member, they will receive certain permissions to go in there and see what's going on. I was at a new volunteer on Friday, and I said, I want to see what you see so that I can express more to the volunteers, because I've been a member and a volunteer for so long. So they have limited access to sign up a volunteer. They can see what the service is. They can see who it's for. They can see where the person, what the person wants, and then they can self-sign up if they'd like, or they can call our phone number and say, listen, can you give me more information about this service that they are not able to see?
It sounds like you do a wonderful job of protecting the privacy of everyone involved.
Definitely. There are only certain permissions given to certain people. Tommy mentioned the our call managers. They have the information. If there is something going on, say a volunteer goes to a member's house, they've seen the member several times, they walk in, they see the members not really acting like they normally do, they can call the call manager and say, can you get in contact with their emergency person? So I can tell them what's going on here at the house.
That's wonderful. And Tommy, I'm going to get to you in just a second, but would you start by repeating that phone number that people can call for more information or to sign up for services?
You bet, Greg. So our phone number is area code 570-630-0509.
Great. And did you want to add anything, Tommy?
Yes. I did a little bit of research just trying to get some demographic information about the area we serve. And in the 2020 census on population figures, there's a combined population between Pike, Sullivan, and Wayne County of 181,000 individuals. Now, I don't know what the breakdown is in terms of the people could support, which is 60 years and older, but I imagine it's still pretty significant. And the fact that we've only got 50 members now, we have a great opportunity to serve a larger percentage of the population. And so that's what we're looking to do, which is why we're coming here to talk to you today and to get the word out of what Growing Older Together has to offer.
Well, let's talk about growing older and the good choices or things that either of you have learned through your family experience, through your own experience, perhaps, about what it does take to grow older well. Why don't we start with you, Diane? When I ask that question, what are some of the first things that come to mind?
I have an older brother who'll be 76 this year. I was recently talking to him. He said, you know, back 30 years ago when our father was alive, he said, I went up there to visit and he had me doing all these chores. And I was really like, I'm on vacation. He said, but now at going to be 76, I realized it wasn't because he wanted to take up my time. It was because he couldn't do them anymore. And when you think of your parents, you think they're invincible and they're always strong and they can always do things that they want to do. But you reach a certain age where you realize, I just can't do it anymore.
Tommy, anything to add based on your dad's experience or your own health concerns last year?
I think what I'd like to talk about is, because what I have found working so just this past 6 weeks is also not just the chores and things we can't do, but things that we as, and I am part of the age group where I could be a member, is things we like to do to stay connected, when one of which is socialization. And we do offer that as well. We have a planning committee that is always looking for ways to have social outings. I mentioned the garden party we had the other day. We're looking at things, nothing calendar yet, but we're looking at things like tours to Dorflinger Museum, maybe some minor league baseball teams. There's the Rail Riders that's in Scranton. In the colder months where we can't really get out, things like casserole and card playing, mahjong tournaments, that sort of thing. So just to bring our members together so they feel like they have that community, it's extremely important.
Do either of you just have best practices that you would suggest for people who are thinking about how they are going to age?
I can speak from experience that when I reached a certain age, my children came in and said, no more throw rugs in the house, Mom, because I do have a history of liking the floor too much. And it was like a matter of, okay, they took away all of my step stools because they were just looking for any kind of risk that I might have. My son bought me for Christmas last year rolling laundry carts because he knew it was hard to lift my laundry baskets and get them to the washing machine. So they were constantly looking for things to help me age better in home.
That's wonderful. And Tommy, based on your dad's experience, anything that you think your family has done especially well or you've learned in hindsight you wish you had taken into consideration earlier?
Well, Greg, I think one thing that is extremely important is that my father has contact, and I'm very fortunate that even though I'm 1,500 miles away, I have two sisters who are extremely devoted, and I think it is important to have a network, whether it is family, whether it's an organization like Growing Older Together, whether it's loving friends. And I have found, I'm kind of on the early side of the age range, but it's important to foster that network while you can. And for me, I'm not necessarily thinking about, the days if I should ever become incapacitated, but I mean, let's just face it. It's a great practice, best practice to get yourself a group of friends and loved ones, because there's so much more than just, caring for somebody and their physical needs later in life. It's, I just find that really the importance of living is to have people in your life. People who matter, people who care, people that we love and who love us. And that will bear fruit later on.
Diane, anything you'd like to add?
Well, Tommy brought up a good point. When we first came into the pandemic, we were doing transportation services with some policies and protocol in place, but we weren't going into people's homes. We weren't doing the things that we were normally doing. So we set up every week, a member got a phone call from our call managers asking if there was something they needed picked up at the drugstore, if there was something they needed, if they wanted to call in a grocery order and we'd pick it up for them. And we've continued those call-ins, especially to people that live alone and really don't have a lot of contact outside going to any clubs or anything like that. So that communication is so important when we get older to know that we have that communication with people.
I think communication is a key word based on my experience when my own mom was passing. You've got to be willing to have difficult conversations because if you have those constructively and kindly and lovingly, people are going to be able to stay in their homes longer. You are going to be able to protect their finances. You are going to be in the loop about their health care and things that might be on the horizon. And in this case, sooner is probably better. Would you two experts agree on that?
I would. I think, you know, timeliness of those conversations is also key. You don't want to wait to talk about important things, you know, until the last minute, you know, because you want, I think it's important to have a plan in place, even if it's a loose plan, so that things aren't, you're not dealing with, you're proactive in a plan as opposed to reacting to a situation at the last moment.
And Diane, you are the woman in charge. You are the president of Growing Older Together. We're going to give you the last word. Anything you'd like to add to what we've been talking about this morning?
Other than it's a wonderful organization, I've met some wonderful people, members, volunteers, our board of directors are very committed to expanding this and moving forward with it. I guess the last word is members are great. Our volunteers are our base, so we can't expand unless we have the volunteers in place.
Well, thank you both for everything you're doing for the community. I look forward to actively taking advantage of your services when the time comes. I appreciate your time and your devotion. Everyone, remember, we are stronger together, and that includes when we are growing older together. So please learn more about this important organization, which serves Sullivan, Wayne, and Pike County, and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for listening to Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Who's he gonna talk to now? What's he gonna talk about? Where are we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
Support comes from Jeffersonville Bake Shop, offering breakfast and lunch to go or to stay, and coffee, Wi-Fi, and space for getting work done remotely. Plus, Chi Hive Yoga Friday mornings. JeffersonvilleBakeShop.com. From the Shuanggunk Journal, serving the towns of Warwissing, Crawford, Mamikating, Rochester, Shuanggunk, and everything in between. ShuanggunkJournal.com. And from listeners like you.
Hello. If you're a book reader, and even if you're not, I'd like to invite you to join me, Aaron Hicklin, every Sunday at noon for Shelf Life on WJFF Radio Catskill, a show about books and the people who love them. Each episode, my guest picks two of their favorite books. I read them, and then we get together to talk about them. That's Shelf Life on Sundays at noon on WJFF Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, New York, W233AH Monticello, New York, streaming online at wjffradio.org.
This is Radio Catskill, your NPR station for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania, your community radio station.